Now, usually I say you have to call me later. That's okay. 011 Chovas Halvavas. We're actually starting Perek Rishon. Be'ezus Hashem. So he, the last paragraph in the introduction, the Chovas Halvavas actually went through the topics of the seven prokim in Shar HaBitachon, and Perek Rishon is true to his word, Muhus HaBitachon. To define it, what is its essence? Muhus HaBitachon Huragiyas Nefesh. It's very famous. It's a famous few words of the Chovas Halvavas. It's really part of a larger sentence, but even if you isolate this phrase, it's the tranquility and Menuchas Nefesh, Regiyas Nefesh, Menuchas Nefesh. It's tranquility, serenity, you're calm. Of the Boteach, he's not even talking about Bitochen and Hashem now. He's defining when a person has Bitochen. What is he feeling? What is he undergoing? What experience is he having when he's having Bitochen? It could be a child. Right? We've all experienced this, right? Till the child's not even conscious. A child has total Bitochen on the mother. Right, he expects the mother to provide every need, and he anticipates that the mother will, and he expects it to, and he doesn't have anything else, he doesn't have nowhere else to turn. Where's he going to turn to? Only the mother. That's what we saw last week, the Pasuk. If, I don't know, nobody has this sefer, but he quoted the Pasuk in Tillim. Im lo yishivisi v'daimamti nafshi k'gomul alei imo, like a nursing child in the arms of its mother, kagomul alai nafshi. That's how a person, we talked about last week, if something not so good is happening, you feel like Hashem is diapering you. But that's the pasuk that the Chovas Halvavas quotes. So that serenity and confidence, hishuanus libo, means a confidence. Al mishabotacholot. You're not talking about Hashem. Betochon means that you feel serene and you're calm. The Boteach is calm and serene because he's confident and he's relying on Misha Botacholov, on whoever is the object of his Bitochon. Someone gave you a guarantee, someone that you trust gives you a guarantee, or someone has a good track record, you're confident. You have an uncle who promised to lend you money, and you know he's rich, and you know he wouldn't go back on his word, and you know he likes you. We're going to see in the second parak why all the mental images of bitachon that we can conjure up to picture it, in order to have to feel it, but they're all flawed, because so many things can go wrong. So I'm just saying Mishalim now, in the second parak, he's going to shoot down all the Mishalim, because he's going to show that the only way you could have full bitachon is if many conditions are present, like even in my example, the uncle could change his mind, and he could have an investment coming along, so he says, I'm sorry, I have nothing liquid now, or someone could talk Lashon Hara on you, and all of a sudden he doesn't like you anymore, or he wants Haravim, and you don't have Haravim, right? But this is what we think of, or the child, even the child that's consciously or unconsciously totally relying on the mother. The mother could chas v'shalom get ill, can't take care of the child. So, she wants to, and she's there for the child, but she's not always able to. So that's what we'll see in the second parak. But here he's defining it. The tranquility and the menuchas and the serenity of the boteach because of his confidence and his reliance on whoever is the object of his bitachon. Sheyaselo, what is he confident about? Why does he have this tranquility and serenity? Because he knows sheyaser lo hayoser tov umatim lo. He knows that the person will do what's most appropriate and fitting for him, b'inyan shubuteach olav. If he's boteach in him for his health, so you have a big doctor, even, not a shem, just, you have a tremendous big specialist, so you know he's not going to write you out a wrong prescription. You have confidence that he's going to diagnose you. This, whether it's health or parnosa, or you have confidence in the repairman, you have confidence in anything. Whatever it is you have confidence in, your confidence is that the person will do what's appropriate and what's fitting. Binyan shubateach olav, kifi yecholto, based on his ability, the yedioso and his knowledge, as mashem matimlo, what's appropriate and fitting. So you feel confident and serene and calm because you're relying on someone, something, someone that will do what's most appropriate and fitting for this given situation based on his based on his knowledge of what that is. What's needed, what's necessary, what's good, what's appropriate, what's fitting, kifi yecholto, based on his ability. Then, so that's very nice, these first three lines. Now, the rest of the perek is like four more lines, but he says the most amazing thing. Really, you have to be ready for an amazing thing. The Chavis right away jumps into the fire. And he knows that what everybody, I think probably the main obstacle to bitachon, the main obstacle to bitachon is to really, really, really feel it. Because we know Hashem knows everything. Oh, we say it, but we have to feel that Hashem knows what's best for us, and Hashem can do anything He wants, and Hashem knows everything that's happening, and Hashem has everything in Cheshbon, and so we know that, and that's not really the obstacle, although I will add, the obstacle is to really believe it, because it's not as easy as it sounds. We say it, but we don't feel it, we don't have that confidence necessary. But the Chavis Lubavitch deals with a more pressing issue that I think is the most... See, what I just said, so everybody will look at me horrified, if I would suggest that we don't really believe Hashem can do anything He wants. Of course we believe Hashem can do anything He wants. But the real obstacle to bitachon that we all feel is, but maybe Hashem, who says Hashem will do what I want? Maybe I don't deserve it. And everybody walks around, unfortunately, we should all go to psychiatrists. Everybody walks around feeling that they're not really as good people as they should be. Everybody walks around, this is what I believe, everybody walks around feeling sort of guilty or feeling, I'm not as good as my husband thinks I am, or I'm not as good as my children think I am, or as not good as I think I am, or I'm not as good as other people think I am. I know what I am, I'm really not that good. And we probably all have it from childhood, because parents always criticize their kids. Okay, I'm getting off the subject. So we all grow up, this is what I hope, we all grow up feeling we're not really that good. And okay, it's very, and if we could raise our children, I'm very much speaking to myself now also, without criticizing them, we have to correct them, and we have to train them, and we have to teach them, and we have to give them mussar. But if we would make a tape recording, never the barrage of criticism that they hear, like it's almost comical. If we would make a tape recorder in the house, how we constantly are ordering our children around and criticizing them. So come on, it's amazing that they grow up normal. It's amazing. It's because Hashem's raising our children, not us. Chas v'shalom, I'm not talking. But we do walk around, and this is a problem with bitachon. They say, how can I bitachon that Hashem is going to keep me healthy, and Hashem's going to get me through this? I don't know, maybe I don't deserve it. Maybe Hashem's going to punish me for my averus. Maybe Yeah, who says? Like, why should Hashem do what I want? Why? So the Chazal Bavos deals with this right away. And he says, he deals with it throughout the Shaar HaBitachon. And his basic principle is, I'll jump ahead, just, he says, Hashem does things even if you don't deserve it. Hashem does things, good things. Hashem gives you things, even if you don't deserve it. That's, he's going to repeat that again and again in different ways. Just do your best and don't rebel against Hashem. And do your best, that's all. And then even if you don't deserve it, because everything's rachamim. See, really, the Chazal Shalom is a progression. We're supposed to learn first Shaar HaYichud and then Shaar HaBechina. Why? Because Shaar HaYichud, you develop belief, real belief in Hashem and His omnipotence and omniscience, like really. And in Shaar HaBechina, it's exposing the wonders of the world and how we should always feel overwhelmed by Hashem's kindness. And we should know Hashem runs the world with chesed and with rachamim. And every breath we take, well, just looking at the universe, right? We've all, I believe everybody here probably has read some of Rabbi Miller's books. There's a wonderful series of books I recommend to people. Our Wondrous World, Our Amazing World. It's like a series of books written by a fellow in England. It's very kedai to read those books. But then you pick up any biology book and just read about the one finger and what happens if you cut yourself and it starts bleeding and like everything that goes on, that the blood, you know, the clot, they're like, it's amazing. And that's what Shaar HaBechina is, just to realize in the flows of the Bria. And therefore, once you learn Shaar HaBechina and you incorporate that, then you realize that we're overwhelmed with chesed every second. And it's almost a chutzpah to say, well, why should Hashem do this for me? Do we deserve to breathe? And all the thousands, millions of things that go on in the human body every second that we can think of. I'm talking now, right? My mind, I mean, it's mind-boggling. Every time we just pick up something, it's mind-boggling. Every time we figure something out and then we do it, and the brain, how it works, and then the muscles and the tendons and the blood flow and oxygen and the digestive system. Nisim every second. So when you say nishmas, you say al elef alfe alofim viribe revavos pa'amim. So I'll admit, when I was younger, I used to think, it's like a little exaggeration. I'll sit down like that, I'll make a calculation. Elef alofim viribe revavos pa'amim. It's like, okay, come on, calm down. It doesn't work out in math. But then I got older, and it's talking about every breath you take. It's talking about every second. Of course there's thousands of nisim going on every second. And we're always overwhelmed with Hashem's chesed. So you learn Shaar HaYichud, and then Shaar HaBechina, which is to expose yourself to the wonders of the universe, of the human body, of physics, of biology, of science. Science is learning about the Chochmah of Hashem, you know. So, and you say, wow, Hashem's doing chesed every second. So all of a sudden he's going to stop. And if I don't deserve it, so then I don't deserve that when I swallow something, then I don't deserve when I chew something, I should be biting my tongue. That's a nice right there.
I don't understand, because I think what you're saying supports the idea. I think what the Rebbe is saying supports the idea that because our world is run by Chesed and not by Din, because otherwise it wouldn't exist. So then that supports the idea that's right. We aren't deserving, but still.
Right. You can have bitachon even if we're not deserving. But don't worry that you're not deserving.
But if I understood correctly, the Rebbe was saying it's a problem that people say, well, we're not deserving. But that's the mitzvah, we're not deserving.
But the Chavis Havava says, but Hashem gives you even if you're not deserving. Realize that.
But the idea of saying that you're not deserving, Right? I thought the Rav said that that was problematic.
We're not deserving from Hashem. From Hashem.
Right.
We do have to feel that we don't deserve, we have no right, we have no demands on Hashem. He gives us life. If you go back to the beginning of our existence, right, I could be a rock. I could not exist. Certainly, the Chavis Alovas, Mitzvah Hashem, maybe we'll learn it. It has a Shar HaKniyah, a Shar of feeling humbleness. A person should be an Anav, not a Baal Gaiva. So he starts off, the Chavis Alovas says, Anava means to Hashem. That's the real Anava is to Hashem. From there, if you feel proper Anava to Hashem, then you'll treat people a certain way too. You won't feel superior to people. Because if you feel a certain way towards Hashem, then it'll flow. You just won't be able to act superior to another human being. Okay? That's his setup. Then he starts off saying, and don't make the mistake of thinking that a person should feel humble because he has low self-esteem and no self-worth and he's not confident, not a confident person, or he thinks he can't do. He says, that's terrible. That's terrible. He condemns that. He says, a person has to feel his romimus, his nasus. A person has to feel great and confident and I can do it and I'm capable. And I can figure things out. And you have to feel like, and then he says, wait a second, this is all coming from Hashem, I feel clear. So when we walk around, if we walk around feeling undeserving, it's to Hashem. And therefore, and the whole Chavis Halavos is structured that way, our whole being, Eved Hashem's, our whole we is all based on Hakaras HaTov. So it's all based on sort of a constant hergish that, yeah, that we don't deserve to live. But that's only between us and Hashem. Once we pass that stage, but now that I am here, so then we should feel good and we should feel confident and we should do things and feel deserving. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, we don't deserve to live, because if you go back to when we were created, so how could we deserve to live? we didn't exist, and Hashem did the greatest chesed in the world. This is all in Shar HaBechina, by the way, in Chavis Halvavos. And that's why the Chavis Halvavos holds, you hit upon a very important point, the Chavis Halvavos holds our whole avoda of Hashem, our whole everything, is based on Hakaras HaTov to Hashem, because we don't deserve anything. We own everything. We own our very lives. And then we own that we breathe and we eat and we digest and our blood flows and all the thousands and thousands revavos pa'amim hatovos. But that's why it's based on Hakaras HaTov. Because that should be an overwhelming feeling. I don't deserve anything. But once you pass that and I'm here, then you shouldn't feel like downtrodden or guilt-ridden. So the Aval HaYesod, a major, major principle, he doesn't make this into a side point. He says a major principle, Asher Mimenu Yeh Bitochem and Haboteach, that will allow you to have Bitochem. The Chashei Yeoder, and if you don't feel this way, you can't have Bitochem. He says, what I'm about to say, you can be the frumst person in the world. If you can't get over the hump of what I'm about to say, if you can't make that leap of faith to really believe what I'm about to tell you, you can't have bitachon. You can't. Who and that is? Shehei batuach, but also shehu batuach alav, you will rely on the person, on the object of your reliance. Because he's still defining it. He's not even talking about frumkeit now. He's not talking about Hashem. He's still defining what it means. See, anybody you would rely on. This is what has to be true. Sheyamali Masha Omar, that he will fulfill what he said. If he promised you something, so that's why you're relying on him. V'yaseh Masha Kibel Olav, and he'll do what he said. Im HaMachshova HaTova Olav, because he feels kindly towards me. He's well disposed to me. He wants to help me. He wants me to have what's good for me. He wants this for me. And therefore, this is the punchline, even what he didn't say he would do, Gamma Shalo Hisna, even if he doesn't, let's say Hashem says, you do the mitzvahs, there'll be rain. If you don't, not going to be rain. He says, Hashem's going to give you rain even if you don't deserve it. But that doesn't make any sense, you're asking to yourself. He will say later, as long as you don't rebel, as long as you do your best, and you're not a moreid in Hashem, and you're not lazy, those are the two things the Chabad of others will say later in Shaar HaBitachon. Don't rebel against Hashem, and do your best. Don't slacken off, because, oh, Hashem really doesn't care if I'm little, it's it. We don't have to do anything. Those are the two conditions. Do your best, and don't rebel against Hashem. He says, then don't worry, Hashem. Kama shalo hisna. Even what the person didn't promise you. V'lo kibala asos. Hu yase b'nedova v'chesed. He'll do it even if you don't deserve it. Even if he didn't. In other words, I told the story a few weeks ago. I call up a guy, and he tells me he's going to come pick me up in the car. So I'm relying on him because he said he would. I have to feel that even if something happens that would, let's say, override his promise, something happened that would allow him to break his promise. He's going to do it anyway, because I'm relying on him. So even if he has reason not, or he said he would come pick me up at 12, and I called him up an emergency, I need him at 11:30, he's going to come. That's full reliance. That's the full bitachon that you have on someone. You can't have full bitachon on someone. It's not full bitachon, the Chavis Halvavah says here in Perek Aleph, if it's limited to what we would call Midas Hadin. Okay, he said he would do this. He said he would take me to the store at 8 o'clock. Oh, it's 8:01. He doesn't have to do it anymore. Or he's going to say, oh, you were a bad boy. I'm not taking you to the store. And yet, there could be a million reasons why not to do it. If you think the object of your bitachon is limited to, it's like a yeki, to what he said and how he said it, and only if you deserve it, and only the way he said it's going to be done, and everything exactly in that box, your bitachon can't be full. Because there's always going to be something. There's going to be something. Or you'll feel that there's something. To truly have bitachon, he says here in these few lines, you have to rely on the person that he'll do what's best for you, that he's capable of doing what's best for you, that he knows what's doing what's best for you, and that he'll do it even if you don't deserve it. Without that, beheder zeh, he says, if that's missing, lo yiyeh habitachon motzui. You can't really have bitachon, because there's always something. So, it's like a basic principle. It's indispensable, he says. It's indispensable, pana bitachon, that the person, and he's giving us the definition of bitachon. He's not talking about Hashem. He's talking about, in the definition of bitachon that he's developing, it's an indispensable part of the definition that the object of your bitachon will act lifnim mishuras hadin. Otherwise, you can't really have bitachon, because you'll just be nervous, and there'll always be something that'll... You won't fit all the conditions that are there, that are inevitably there. You have to believe that Hashem is there for you, or the object of your bitachon is there for you. Rabbeinu Yonah really says this. Rabbeinu Yonah says it. There's actually, it's not so clear if there's a technical mitzvahs bitachon. Technical. By the way, I recommend a small little handbook called Mitzvahs HaBitachon. It's a very good, it has Maimari Chazal and Psukim. And then, you look at it a minute a day, 2 minutes a day. I think it's called Mitzvahs HaBitachon.
In English?
I believe it's been translated. Anyway, but getting back to being technical now, speaking like a man, so it's not so clear which of the 613 mitzvahs is bitachon, but there actually is a mitzvah that comes pretty close. And that is, there's a lav, you're not going to be afraid in mulchama. When you go to war, there's a technical iser lav that the soldier's not supposed to be afraid. And what do you mean he's not supposed to be afraid? He's supposed to have bitachon. He's supposed to have bitachon in Hashem, that Hashem will get him through the war safely. So Rabbi Yonah speaks out.
How do you expect that a soldier when he is in war?
The lav is, he's not supposed to be afraid, because the lav is, it's a very important lav.
If you
talk to any, if you would speak to people who have been in war, I'm talking about the worst thing for the army, for morale, for the fighters, is if people act scared.
But you have to have an element of fear to survive, because it's what keeps you aware.
No. The mitzvah is that what keeps you aware and what keeps you alert is the knowledge that you're fighting Hashem's battle, and Hashem's with you, and you're doing something for Kiddush Hashem, or you're doing something for Klal Yisrael. That's what's supposed to keep you going. And you're supposed to forget about your family, and you're supposed to forget about everything else.
Forgetting about the people that are not there, you don't see, is easy. But what about the people that are being killed on either side of you as you're at war? How do you forget that?
Nobody's telling you to forget that. But that's for sure. If a person allows his fear to overtake him, he'll start running. It's inevitable. And once you start running, you lost the war. And you talk, you have to develop a sense of fearlessness. That's even without the lav. You talk to any general, talk to people who have been in the army. You have to have a fearlessness. You have to be ready. You're committing suicide. What allows someone to throw themselves on a grenade to save? You have to develop it's superhuman what people do in battle. We Taka don't appreciate soldiers in battle. They put their lives on the line, and you have to be fearless. If they wouldn't be fearless, they would run away. And Tchilas Nefila Nisa, the Gemara says, once you run away, you're finished. You're lost. Once you're in a retreat. So there's a lav not to be afraid. So Rabbi Yonah says, and the Rambam and the Chinuch go on to explain. You're supposed to fortify yourself with thoughts of bitachon. Right? I think this is the closest I know to the technical place where there's a mitzvah bitachon. My point is that Rabbi Yonah says that this applies to anyone who's in a dangerous situation, who's in a difficult situation. You have to develop a feeling of confidence that Hashem will see you through it. And he says it by this lav. I don't know if he's talking technically that there's a lav by every person who's in a difficult situation, that you shouldn't be overwhelmed by the difficult situation. I wouldn't go so far as to say that he technically holds that it applies to every situation, but he says it. He says that the lav conceptually should apply to every person who's in a difficult situation. So that's, and it's dangerous. What do you mean? It is very dangerous. And it's a sakana, and Hashem's going to get me through it, even if I don't deserve it. Hashem. And that's what you have to develop. You're relying on Hashem to get you through it. I would even go so far as to say that according to what we just learned in the Chodesh Halvavos, it would be a more precise formulation to say that we have bitachon in Chasdei Hashem. Not even, like I said, we have bitachon in Hashem. Maybe it should be reformulated. We have bitachon in Chasdei Hashem. He doesn't just like, it's not a side point. He puts this into the very basic definition. That means he's going into the human psyche. You can't have bitachon if there's this lurking fear that you don't deserve it. The person's not going to really do it because you did something wrong. You're not living up to the person's expectations, and maybe you messed up. Part of bitachon is to feel that the person's going to do it anyway. If you really want to have bitachon that the rich person is going to lend you money, you have to feel that even if he gets angry at you, he's going to lend you money. Or else, you don't really have bitachon in him. It's not full-fledged. It's okay, I have confidence, Baruch Hashem, he's going to lend me the money if I don't get him angry. So there's part of you that's nervous. You're not totally tranquil and serene. You're careful not to get him angry. So you really, full bitachon, full. The Chavos is aiming for broke. He wants you to have full bitachon, even if I don't deserve it. Yes, there are exceptions. As he says, don't rebel. You can't have bitachon that if you go to the rich guy and spit at him in the face, that he's still going to lend you that not. And you can't have bitachon that if you sit home and twiddle your thumbs, he's going to come knocking on your door and offer you the money. Then also, you can't be lazy. You have to go to the hours when he has hours, and you have to ask him to lend you money. So those two things, Chavos of others will say.
The nature of humans, of people, is that you really can't have full bitachon.
In a human?
It's not, yeah. It's
well, that's what he's going to say in Perek Beis. That's the secret in Perek Beis. But here he's still working on just the definition. He wants to make sure we fully get the definition. Then in Perek Beis, he's going to show why you really can't have bitachon the way it has to be defined in anyone but Hashem.
Can I ask you something else? Sometimes a person wants something that isn't really good for them.
Well, that's why he was careful to say that we rely on Hashem, that Hashem will do what's most fitting and best. But we're allowed to... That's why I said that's part of what Rabbeinu Yonah says about Molchama. We're allowed to project what seems to us to be best. As long as we're able to handle, if Hashem doesn't give us what we think is best, without losing our bitachon. I want to be healthy. I'm not supposed to think Hashem should do whatever's best. I know this came up, this always comes up. If we were supposed to think, Hashem should just do whatever he wants, then we would be making a bracha levatollah when we say in Shemona Esrei, Hashem should heal us. We say Hashem should give us parnasa. We know what tov is, what it is most of the time. In the normal course of events, we know a person should be healthy, we know a person should have parnasa, we know a person should be happy, we know a person should be shouldn't have a mum, chas v'shalom. That's the normal course of events. So when we project our bitachon, it's that Hashem will do what's best for me and keep me healthy. Then if Chalila, people do get sick, so then we say, well, because you've developed it from the perspective, because Hashem will do what's best for me, so you say, oh, I guess this is what's best for me. That's what you say. I guess this is what's best for me. It doesn't injure you, it doesn't spoil your bitachon, because your bitachon is always not... It's Hashem will do what's best for me, which is, in the normal course of events, to be healthy, to be happy. Things should go normal, things should go smoothly. That's what you're supposed to feel.
So you're saying that most of the time you should go around expecting everything to go well, until it doesn't.
Yes, but I would replace the word expecting with relying on Hashem that things will go well. That's the point. Not just expecting, or if I'll say it differently, expecting that they will go well because you have confidence that Hashem will make them go well. We're not just making giving a course in happy-go-lucky living. So that's what you have to work on bitachon. You rely on Hashem. When you go to the store to buy something, you rely on Hashem that you should have a successful trip. And you should find what you want in the store. And instead of relying on your own know-how or on the storekeeper, you rely on Hashem. When you're driving on a trip, as I said, the best practice to develop bitachon is before you do anything, daven to Hashem that it should be successful. Talk to Hashem. You shouldn't use the word daven. Talk. Talk to Hashem and say, Hashem, I know it's only you can make me be successful in whatever I'm about to do, whether it's baking a cake or driving to Yerushalayim or crossing the street. Hashem, please let it indeed be successful. And then after it happens, you thank Hashem. Say thank you. And this way you'll develop that awareness that you're always relying on Him and that He's the one doing it and pulling all the strings. And then you'll see how much is going right in your life. And you'll see that you're overwhelmed by good things happening. And then you'll slowly develop bitachon. Ultimately, we want to get to the madrega where having bitachon in Hashem is a silent tefillah. As I told you in the first few weeks, there's many, many psukim that show that Hashem responds to our bitachon by doing things that He normally wouldn't have done, so to speak. But if you're truly relying on Him, then that itself creates a dynamic of its own. Yichastcha Hashem Aleinu kasher yichalnu bach. There's many references in tefillah to v'lo nevosh kivacha batachnu. We come to Hashem and you say, hey, I'm relying on you, don't mess me up. And Hashem, that's a dynamic that Hashem created. So you develop your bitachon, and then in Mitzvah Hashem, as it develops, Hashem does things as a reaction, so to speak, as a reaction to your bitachon. It's just like always a silent tefillah. Hashem, I'm relying on you. Oh, you're relying on me? It's a different story. The whole idea of Hashem does things for you, even if we don't deserve it, is intensified when we're relying on Him. Because that's a reason He should do it. As I said, Tzuri v'lo avlosa bo, we said the first few weeks. Hashem doesn't do an avla. When you're relying on someone, He does. He comes through for you. Okay, so that's the whole first parak. We'll stop here. Yeah.